You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now more of Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
3-2. Here it is. And it is swung and grounded to first. Backhanded off the glove of Lowe into the outfield. One run scores. Chisholm behind him. The Red Sox defense has betrayed them in the fourth inning. And it is 4-0 Yankees. That was a weird hop on the first baseline for a seasoned pro like Lowe. That's a play he's got to make.
I stand with Will Fleming on that one. Lowe's brought here in part for his defense. That's a double play.
Yeah.
Potentially a double play that gets early out of that inning. It's 2-0 as opposed to 4-0. You probably lose either way, the way Schlittler was throwing on the other side. But that felt like a significant play, at least from giving your team a little bit of hope and feeling like all hope was lost.
Yeah. Did you hear any of Nathaniel Lowe prior to the game? I don't know if you caught any of this.
Yeah, he was like, this is I'm nervous, but this is fun. Something like that, right?
Yeah, like he's like, I didn't sleep last night. He's like, you can hear my voice is shaking. I was like, wait a minute. This guy has like World Series experience. And he was so nervous. Like, I get the old like, oh, I got butterflies or whatever, right? Before the game. But he was talking about like how nervous he was and how he couldn't sleep at all. And I'm like, oh, I don't have a lot of confidence in that.
That doesn't feel great.
As like, conversely, and not that he had like a great game or anything, but Alex Bregman was asked about it. He's like, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Like Alex Bregman like, couldn't wait for like a big time elimination game in Yankee Stadium. Nathaniel Lowe was like, I'm so nervous. My voice is shaking.
It's over. We are screwed.
Like, oh, that guy had an error in the game? Like, no kidding. His glove was probably shaking. Like, I was like, I don't love the confidence there. And I didn't really put it together in real time. Like, I heard that comment because he was up. He was at the podium because they announced that he was starting or whatever. And I'm like, what a weird thing to say.
Yeah. And again, for a guy who's been in a lot of big games.
Oh, he's not Cam Schlittler or Connelly Early who you could tell if they were a little nervous. Neither one of them showed it if they were. But this guy that you thought, would be more of a veteran player compared to more playoff experience than a lot of what the Red Sox have.
Real quick, to close the loop, we'll take your thoughts on it all day long, but to close the loop on the most hated Yankees. A lot of pushback that neither of us had A-Rod on there.
Yeah, I don't really hate A-Rod.
I would say some pushback. This is one that I didn't consider. It's a good one. Clemens?
So, and maybe this is me more just wanting all the roid guys in the Hall of Fame. So, like, I get the thing with Clemens, but Clemens also, you got to remember, going all the way back to it, the Red Sox didn't want him anymore. So he left. Then he went to Toronto for a couple years. Then he went to the Yankees. So I personally never really hated Clemens. I get it. I think Clemens and A-Rod would be on a lot of people's lists, but they're not on mine.
If you asked me in 03, 01, my list would look a lot different.
Yeah.
But because the Red Sox have won, most of the really good Yankee players, like, I still don't like Jeter, but the guys who really bother me are, like, the bum players, you know? And maybe that's harsh for Paul O'Neill.
Well, like, Kareem Garcia.
Yeah, like, those guys, like, is what now sticks out in my head where I'm like, those guys sucked.
Yeah.
And they acted like they were God's gift to baseball. Like,
because they were the 20th guy on the Yankees.
Because they just happened to be on the Yankees with these stacked rosters that just won before they even threw out the baseballs every year.
Yeah.
Like, those are the guys that still to this day really piss me off.
Mm-hmm.
But we have different lists. That's fine. Somebody also pointed out Clue Hayward is not a real person.
Which was
a good observation.
No way. Saw him in a movie.
617-779-7937. While we're here, Kevin's in Brookline. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, guys. How are you? Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
A couple maybe omissions, maybe not, but my three most I hated the most was Mickey the Rat Rivers, who I always detested. Thurman Pie Face Munson, God rest his soul, but he was always incredibly annoying. And Pantload David Wells, just an aggravating fat slob who always came up big.
Twitch chat was talking about David Wells.
Yeah.
David Wells.
I hate him most as a Red Sox, not a Yankee.
Honestly,
yeah, that's true.
David Wells.
Yeah. David Wells. I was always enjoyed the different shapes and sizes a ball player could come in, so I didn't really mind David Wells, to be honest.
Yeah, same.
He was good. Then there's the whole thing. He's like, hey, he bought Babe Ruth's hat, and he's wearing it. I'm like, gross.
I'm pretty sure he asked to unretire his number to wear it when he joined the Yankees.
Yeah, that too.
That's weird.
Another one that's on everybody's list.
Wants to wear Babe Ruth's skin? Like, that's weird.
This would be on, like, our dad's list and, like, the older generation, but obviously Bucky Dent. And funny story.
We got some texts about Bucky Dent and Reggie Jackson, and I'm not feeling those ones.
So funny story, and you can save the brag drop. This is a big brag coming up. In high school, every other year, our baseball team would go to Florida, brag.
Sick,
yeah,
brag,
I already said
bro.
You can save it. And so we go down there.
I still liked it.
And whatever, for spring training. But where we did our spring training was at Bucky Dent's baseball school.
Sick, brag.
And he legit had like a green monster. Like one of the fields was like, the definition of Fenway Park, which is crazy because it's like Bucky Dent's one hit he ever had happened at the Monster. So he like constructs Fenway Park down there. But anyway, we meet him one of the first times we're down there. And
sick brag, bro.
I already bragged it. It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense.
He goes, hey, everybody, like, welcome to like Bucky Dent school. He's like, does everybody want some, like, anybody want some autographs? Our whole team, like, all from New England, were like, no thanks. He's like, what? We're like, oh, we're good, dude.
Just no
we do not want your autograph.
No thanks, bro.
No thanks.
Yeah, actually, I'll take one. I got to wipe my ass. okay. Well, pretty good. Good story time there.
Thank you.
617-779-7937. Keith, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because we asked it going in.
I know.
Was this year a success for the Boston Red Sox?
Man, today it doesn't feel like it, but the answer is yes. The answer is yes, because I'm not going to just keep moving the goalposts. I'm going to be consistent. I'm like all the Devers people out there. I'm going to be consistent. And a month ago, I think we might have asked the same question. And I said, you got to make the playoffs. And they were in the playoffs, and they were like letting their lead slip away. We're like, oh, could they win the division? Oh, wait a minute. Could they miss altogether? And it was touch and go, especially after the Roman Anthony injury. And so I said then, as long as they make the playoffs. They made the playoffs. Garrett Crochet was dominant in game one, and then sadly they lose the next two games. Baseball to me is the ultimate crapshoot. Like, it'll be interesting to see what the World Series matchup ends up being. Could be, you know, a team like the Tigers, for all we know, that had this huge lead, let it all slip away, and then had to go on the road in the wild card round. It still could be anybody. So for me, yeah, it's a tough day and time
to say
yes.
To be like, great season.
No, super frustrating, but overall, after a team that hasn't made the playoffs for 4 years, to get in, I think it is a success.
So I would answer it the same way. Like, if we got to be black and white, no gray, binary answer, yes or no. Yes, this year was a success. Now, there was a time, Keith, in late August, I guess it couldn't have been early September, middle of August, late August, where they were red hot. I revised it upwards. I'm like, I think they now have to win a round. I think they have to advance. And then Roman Anthony got hurt, and I revised it back down. I'm like, just get in. That will be a successful year. Now, what complicates it is who you lost to and how you lost.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the Yankees are the more talented team, I guess. They had a better season. They had home field for a reason. But the Red Sox dominated that matchup. They could have, maybe even should have, won game two. So all of that makes it very frustrating. And I don't want to let them off the hook for the failure that was last night, which, again, was just lifeless, gutless, dead man walking performance, which was embarrassing, shameful, is what it was. And game two, the way they lost, was just gut-wrenching and gross. So I don't want to let them off the hook for any of that.
Right.
But this was a small S success for the Red Sox this year. They had to make the playoffs, and they did.
Yeah.
Here's Alex Cora on that question. He doesn't necessarily answer it the way we did, but I kind of liked his phrasing on this.
Alex, how would you sum up the season? Tough early going, improved throughout the summer, yet disappointing ending?
I mean, we didn't finish the way we wanted, so that's not kind of like, that's not great. But, you know, we'll sit down and reflect how the season went. We'll talk about it in the upcoming days, but as an organization compared to other years, I think we took a step forward in certain areas. You know, like I always said, you know, we're not a perfect team. We are a good team that needs to keep improving. And, you know, let's see what the offseason brings. But I truly believe we're going to keep getting better.
Okay, so the question is, was it a success or no? Which to me is a harder one to answer. But if you use Cora's wording, it was a step forward. Like, I do think that's fair to say. And now everybody crying about ownership. Ownership. I do think that their gripe is going to be amplified now. Ownership has to go out and spend this offseason. Breslow, you're back under the microscope. You don't get credit forever because you traded for Garrett Crochet. I think you get credit for this year. But you're going to go out and do it again and improve the team. And John Henry, you have to spend. Now you have to use that Devers money that you salary dumped at the trade deadline. You were proven right. That was the right move, whether it was for the right reasons or not. I think it was. I think subtracting Devers allowed them to make the playoffs.
Yep.
I don't think they were making the playoffs with Devers. How do I know? They weren't on pace too while he was here. They missed it the last 3 years while he was here. But now you have to come through and spend that money and replace him. And Breslow, you're back on the clock. You have to go out and do it. So it was a step forward, but now you got to cement it and take another step forward next year, because just making the playoffs next year won't be acceptable.
No, agreed. And now, too, like, you had a lot of young guys come up and played bigger roles than you anticipated for this year, and they were really good. Unfortunately, a couple of those guys got hurt. But Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, and then take it one step further, Peyton Tolley and Connolly Early, I don't think were expected to be in the positions that they were in, and they all helped you quite a bit to get to where you were. This team was 5 games under 500 on June 6th, and then they finished the season 16 games over 500. So it was kind of teetering there for a little bit. We all predicted them to make the playoffs. I know we talked about Alex Cora's comments right after the season ended. He was kind of wrong about this. I think most people thought they would be in the playoffs. But then the way the season got going, you're like, oh, wait a minute. I thought maybe Tanner Houck would be a part of it. He isn't. I thought maybe Cutter Crawford would play this year. He didn't. I thought Tristan Casas might play. He didn't. I thought Rafael Devers wouldn't be a giant turd in the clubhouse. He was.
He was.
So, like, you had all these different things that you had to figure out on the fly, which they ultimately did. They made the playoffs in what was a very competitive, I wouldn't say good, but I would say competitive American League. And they got in. And they even took game one. Like, I thought you had some real positive things that happened this year. Garrett Crochet was a Cy Young candidate. Some of your young players played really well. And, yeah, there's a lot more to do this offseason. I'd be a little bit concerned about that. You know, how much will John Henry be willing to invest in his team? It should be set up for him to do it and still be under the Devers deal. Like, you got out from the Devers deal. So now can you use, not even all that, I'll be realistic, can you use 75% of that money and help your team in the near future? Because they're not that far away from being even the best team in the American League.
So was it a success? You know, and it doesn't feel great today because losing to the Yankees sucks, and that obviously complicates things. But I'd say they did what they had to do this year. I got to pick one or the other, success or failure. Those are your options.
That's it. It's like Rotten Tomatoes, up or down.
Right, not gray area in between. Nope. Did they succeed or did they fail? They succeeded, but there's more to do. And I'm with you on that. John Henry remains a problem. I think until he goes out and spends this offseason, John Henry remains a problem. I thought Devers was a bigger one, but he remains a problem. Keith, you tweeted during the game last night, or was this right when the game ended? I forget.
It was like I was frustrated. I didn't think they were coming back. It was during like the ninth inning.
So Keith tweeted out, and you can go seek it out, at Keith21, his 2026 Red Sox roster.
Yeah, basically just the starting nine and the five-man rotation. Yeah. I didn't get in like...
Yeah, you didn't do all 26.
I didn't do a deep... I have a limited Twitter account. I don't have like the... I don't pay for it, so sure. I can't go through the whole thing. But basically, I went with... This is what I think is a realistic possibility, but also like some wishful thinking. You know what I mean? Like, I think this could happen. Obviously, there are plenty of other players I would like to get. It's really just two additions.
I think this
two
is
additions.
I think this is very realistic.
So I would have Carlos Narvaez back as the catcher. I think the big swing in free agency for a stick would be Pete Alonso. He makes too much sense. We've brought his name up before. Right-handed bat at first base. I'm not trusting Tristan Casas. I'm not running that back for another year. I'm bringing in Pete Alonso, middle of the order bat, sock and dingers playing first base. This we can debate, but right now I would start the year with Marcelo Meyer at second. I'd bring back Bregman at third. I'd bring back Story at short. We can get into the semantics there. Outfield of Roman Anthony in left, Seidon Rafaela in center, Willy Abreu in right, and then I'll trot back Masataka Yoshida. Maybe you find a platoon guy. I know Ref Snyder's a free agent, but maybe you have a lefty-righty platoon at DH. Then Garrett Crochet, I make a trade for Joe Ryan. I actually get it done this time. He's your number two. Then Bayo, Early. And then we'll see what happens with Lucas Giolito's arm and contract. So either Giolito or probably Toley as like your fifth guy.
I think Giolito should be back.
Yeah, yeah. I would take him back.
And I'd imagine now the injury, he'd probably take their qualifying offer, or maybe he won't even opt out. But either way, if they offer him the qualifying offer, I bet he takes it. And it sounds like when the Red Sox say we avoided a disaster, he wouldn't pitch in October, we avoided a disaster. I think he'd be ready for next year, but that's some guesswork. But anyway, the additions are Pete Alonso. Alonso or Schwarber, Keith?
Oh, man.
I say Alonso.
Yeah, and probably Alonso.
Schwarber in a vacuum is better. And I love Schwarber when he was here, and I hated that they didn't bring him back.
Well,
I want to, Alonso's the better fit.
So Alonso's the better fit.
Defensively and righty power bat. He's the better fit on this team.
He is. But if Bregman and Story are both back, I think you can take in Kyle Schwarber.
Oh, I mean.
Because it's another left. I mean, you can take him no matter what. Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's 50 home runs, like you'll take the guy.
If this were John Henry 20 years ago, they'd get both. But but now let's be realistic.
So who's playing for? Like, is Yoshida still on the team? Because like I'd rather Schwarber DH than do anything else. I don't really want Schwarber at first base. So then I guess therefore Pete Alonso.
You can sign Schwarber and put him wherever you want.
Pete Alonso. And out of those two, I think it's an easier kind of fit. They obviously like the flexibility at DH. And you know you still have good if Meyer and Anthony are healthy and those are some lefty bats, and if Willie Abreu is still here. So it'd be a good mix. You'd have a good balance. You'd have more of a balance with Pete Alonso.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm with you.
I mean, to me, I think that's the answer. What does it take to get Joe Ryan?
So,
They want Duran? Like, I know we're both done with Duran. I thought he'd come through last night. He didn't. I didn't want him in the lineup in game two, so I was already teetering. Duran, Justin in D.C. called yesterday, called him a choker, and we're like, look, you might not be wrong. Let's see how it goes.
So the Red Sox got Garrett Crochet last year for just prospects. Uh-huh. Now, one of the prospects was Kyle Teal, who's one of the best in the system. So I'm sure the Twins would ask for Toley or Early. I don't really want to do that because I would have those guys in the rotation. I don't think they'd want Duran. Maybe you can trade Duran to somebody else for a high prospect and put that guy into the deal. I would say maybe any other prospects outside of those two. I would give him Willie Abreu if they wanted him.
Okay.
I have him currently in my right field, but I would give him him.
If they wanted Duran and two prospects. Now, the talk at the deadline was, and Brad Foe wrote this, Breslow was offering two of three prospects. Toley, Password, and I'm blanking on who the other
probably,
one was.
Probably Arias or Luis.
It might have been. I forget. Arias.
I'd give him Password.
Okay, me too.
Yeah.
And I'd give him Toley.
You would.
I mean, for Joe Ryan,
he just throws heaters.
He does.
Yeah.
But it's like, if they want...
Yeah, and I think Connelly Early being really good gives you that flexibility of, like, we still have a homegrown pitcher, cost-controlled pitcher.
If they want Duran and two prospects, and Toley's a prospect, Early's a prospect...
I can't imagine they want Duran.
I mean, I don't either, but I'm just saying, if some sort of deal like that, maybe they're trying to buy low. He's still pretty affordable.
So between Toley and Early... Yeah, I would keep Early over Toley.
So I would rather have Toley long term, but I would I would move either of them.
Early's got like six pitches. Toley has one.
I know, but Toley feels like he has
it
ceiling. Whereas Early might kind of be what he is.
But I wonder if Toley's like a closer.
He could be.
I don't know. I wonder if he's a starter.
He may not be a starter. I mean, he wasn't this year, but I don't know. He also got called up to the bigs way before we expected, and if he adds another pitch, look out.
Now, the reason why I even say that is because I see, like, on the Twitch chat, it's like, Toley and Early, you can't keep both of those guys and get Joe Ryan. You might be right. But last year, as Bradford told us, the White Sox said, we'll take Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer for Garrett Crochet. And the Red Sox like, we're not doing that. And then in the offseason, they took Teal and, like, three other guys.
Yeah.
Now, Teal's no slouch, but I'm just saying, like, that changed pretty drastically from July to, December.
Yeah, where you're trying to use a deadline as pressure. Now, you might be negotiating against more people this offseason.
Oh, for sure.
But I who's the kid they drafted out of Oklahoma first round? It's similar to what they did.
Witherspoon?
Yeah, like if the Twins like him, that's basically what they did the year before. They threw in their first round pick along with Kyle Teal, and it got the job done for Crochet. And Crochet should cost more than Joe Ryan. 617-779-7937. You could jump in there. Oh, by the way, real quick. Alex Bregman after the game, what'd you make of this, Keith? He was very terse and upset to even be asked about his future in Boston, which I guess some people will be like, hey, man, he just lost the game. Leave him alone. I look at it as you have to ask that question there. The guy's probably going to go run and hide for the rest of the offseason.
I think it's fair.
So you're not going to get a chance to talk to him again. But I guess different minds can agree to disagree on that one. Here's Bregman when asked about his future last night.
Alex, you said they have a bright future with a young group. Is this a clubhouse you could envision being a part of if both sides can come to an agreement?
Of course. Not even thinking about that at all right now. I'm thinking about the game that just happened.
Alex, when
you talked about the future not being on your mind, so excuse the question, but with that decision coming in the next month, what are the next few weeks hold for you in terms of that, thinking about it?
I'm going to think about this game and the guys in the room and start my off season and get after it and become a better baseball player.
So I think, like, first of all, yeah, you 100% have to ask because you might get a Juan Soto, Pete Alonso type answer, yep. Right? Like, every once in a while, a guy just kind of really kind of like,
I'll go to the highest bidder.
See you later, guys. Yeah. I'm ready for it. And so Bregman not going that route. But, yeah, I think it's up in the air, but I was never entirely fearful that he was going to leave. Now, he might opt out, but you could still re-sign him, or he just opts in. It was a little overblown how good he was this year. I think he's an amazing like clubhouse personality. He might be our manager of the year when we give out our year-end awards.
Ooh,
he has a good shot at manager of the year for the Red Sox, but he missed a ton of games. You know, didn't have really any power in the playoffs. What, he hit 18 dingers or whatever for the season?
Yeah.
So, like, he was good, but I think it was a little overblown how good he is. Like, is somebody giving him $200 million?
I don't think so. And, again, this is a guy who loves Bregman. And it's like, for all the people's swings that he fixed and all the pitchers that he gave him little tips to fix, it would have been nice if he fixed his own down the stretch. Like, instead of handing out all these other tips in September, like, maybe fix your own swing and then let everybody else know what they're doing wrong after the fact. So, look, I love Bregman. I think they needed a guy like that who had been there, done that, leader. He's the total opposite of Devers. So, I like all those things. But I do think his success on the field was overrated. I want him back. I don't think teams are going to be lining up to pay him. But that's also an indication that it wasn't as good on the field as we thought. I didn't think his answer told us anything about him leaving. Nick, I know you read into that. I was talking to Twitch Mitch down the hall.
No.
He's like, oh, he's definitely gone the way he read it. I didn't read it
that way.
I've
also been pretty convinced he's going to opt out anyway.
Well, that's fine. And if you already felt that way, you felt that way. I don't think the answer told us anything. I just think he was in a pissy
mood. His second half, by the way, 63 games, 7 home runs, 27 RBI, hit .250 with a .727 OPS.
Like, maybe instead of telling Nate Lowe how to fix his swing, maybe fix your own.
Like, do you think his market now...
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Is a lot better than it was last year?
No.
Me neither.
He's a year older and was hurt again.
Right. And we already saw what those offers were. And so, yeah, you can, you know, now there's inflation. But, like, how much more is he really going to get? I'm not worried. I think he's on the team next year.
I don't think it's a foregone conclusion he opts out. And if he does, they can still pay him.
Yep.
617-779-7937. Billy Lanny with all the latest here in trending. It is a Patriots Friday. We also have the Friday 4-Pack next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.